This is Allegro Non Troppo across Australia with the Community Radio Network with Adam Stobbs and Peter Forte.
The discovery of self is the longest and almost never completed journey we all travel.
On the way through, things change and surprises make life interesting.
Human sexuality is most complex because it's so individual and defies labels.
When people discover that they have a different sexuality than they expected, what happens?
The teenagers have a struggle to deal with their homosexuality, but what if you're married with two children?
The story of women realizing they are lesbian after they have been married and had children is not uncommon, but it's still difficult.
Do women realize their homosexual nature easier than men?
Is it gradual or sudden? Sue has been through this, and we're going to hear her story. Hello, Sue. Welcome to Allegro Non Troppo.
Thank you very much for having me.
So this is quite an interesting topic and one that doesn't get spoken about a lot. Can I ask you a few questions about yourself first?
Absolutely.
How old are you?
I'm actually my birthday's next week. I'll be 43.
43. Okay. Mm. How old were you when you got married?
Oh gosh, I was in my 30s.
So you got married a little bit later.
Yeah.
How come so late?
Strangely enough, and it makes sense now, I never found the right person.
Okay.
You know, and when you do, you go, there you go. The penny drops at that point.
At this point in your life, so we can use this as a reference marker, would you consider yourself to be lesbian?
Yes.
So you're a lesbian, yeah?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Definitely, completely, without question.
Absolutely, without question.
Okay. When you got married in your 30s and through your 20s, how did you identify? Did you ever think you were lesbian then?
No, to be honest, I actually thought all women thought the way I did. I thought all women looked at other women and thought she's attractive or whatever. And, you know, I just assumed that that's the way it was. All women had this urge to, an attraction.
Attraction to the women. Tell us about where you grew up, because if we get a little bit of an idea of your background and everything, it puts us all in context. Where are you from?
Certainly. I grew up in the northern suburbs.
Melbourne?
In Melbourne. Yeah. A regular family. I had, my parents did go through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
My mum remarried to a beautiful man who I consider my father. And I have two brothers, one older and one younger, which explains why I have middle child syndrome perhaps. And I went to a regular school, did the regular things, and went off to high school and then to teachers' college.
Okay. During those, so your parents separated.
Yes.
And your stepfather took over the role of father.
That's right.
Okay. And you just, what was wrong with your real father? Why did you?
I think there are a whole lot of issues there between them. But I'm actually quite happy. I call my stepfather my father. I wouldn't even consider him my stepfather. He's my dad.
What about your other father?
I don't have any contact.
Okay.
No, that was quite a long way back.
Okay. Is that not an issue for you?
No, not at all, because I love my father.
Okay.
So I'm a very, very happy and a very lucky person. And particularly in light of what's happened over my life, I couldn't have got more support than from him.
When you were I don't want to get terribly personal because I know you outside of just being a person interview. I know you at this station, so I'm a bit reluctant to get into really personal issues, but I want to do it anyway.
I know you'd do it anyway, Adam.
For the sake of our listener, when you were first realizing that you were a sexual being, you know, did you find yourself in any way attracted to women?
I guess perhaps so. When you're about 15,
yeah.
you have those like, oh. But I think I always wanted to fit in.
Yeah.
And so, oh, he's a cool boy. He's the one you want to be with. And I'll go, oh, yeah, okay. And I was always the kid was running behind trying to catch up with everybody else in the sense of, oh, that's what you're supposed to be listening to. That's what you're supposed to be dressing in, all that sort of stuff. So although I did look at girls and think, oh, I didn't think it was a sexuality thing. I just thought it was part
looking
of
back, do you think it was a sexuality thing?
Possibly, yes.
Because when you're with your peers, particularly in your teenage years, you want to associate with them and be a part of the group. And if those girls are chasing after boys or taking an interest in boys, you feel as though you have to follow that.
That's exactly what happened. I remember even with music, they go, oh, this is the current band. I'm going, oh, who are they? And you didn't actually want to say who are they because then you're out of the group kind of thing. So if someone's saying, oh, he's really cute, you go, yeah.
The pressure to conform and to be part of the peer group is huge when you're going through school. Did you, when was your first boyfriend thing?
Oh, it was probably in around the 15 or so mark, but it was fraught with danger, as most relationships at that age. They're the wrong person, they're too old, they're too young, they lead you the wrong way. So you sort of go through that, oh, you're dating him, no, you dropped. That was the terminology then, and it was all very quick relationships at that point.
Okay. But how old were you? This is not too personal a question. How old were you when you had your first, like, sexual experience?
I was 18.
Okay.
And I thought it didn't count.
Was that with a boy?
It was with a boy, yeah.
What was it like?
It was dreadful.
Was it?
It was absolutely dreadful. And not from, I guess, from a lesbian perspective. Like, oh, God, what's that doing? It was just, I thought, oh, that's a bit yuck. I don't think that was a sexuality thing at that point, though.
Yeah, it was just a...
It was just a, oh, where's the fanfare and,
the fireworks,
you know... Exactly, yeah. It was very disappointing. Mm.
That's the problem with popular culture. It's given all of our young people this. There's going to be fireworks going off, there's going to be a fanfare, there's going to be angels singing, you're going to feel absolutely fabulous, and your feet are going to come off the ground and your toes curl up and all of this romance. And then, in most cases, the first sexual experience is rather clumsy, messy and a bit awkward.
It's a bit yuck, really.
I don't know
it?
If it's anything like for you, but for me, having relationships with women, when they failed, it was always their fault. I never took it on myself that maybe it was something about me, because I was in total denial at the time, which I, by the sound of it, you were.
Similar. Yeah, I was good at it too.
So it was, yeah, exactly. Well, of course, you get really good at it and you convince yourself, don't you?
You do. You just say, well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay, but it doesn't sound like denial to me. Like, you didn't have any internalised conflict, really, did you?
No, and I have discussed this issue with a lot of lesbian women who say, well, I knew earlier and I just tried to toe the line. Whereas with me, I wasn't trying to toe that line. I was just trying to follow, to conform to society's way. So, but I was a little bit of denial.
So you were totally accepting that you could be lesbian then, were you? Or did you
no.
say to yourself...
No, I just assumed that I would always have these dual feelings.
Did at any stage, that was there, say during your 20s, at any stage was there any sign of conflict internally about having these feelings of attraction?
No, not particularly. Okay. I just thought that this was the way it was going to be and it was going to be a bit blah. Mm-hmm. And I just had to suck it up, princess, and get on with it.
And you thought that was the same for all women? Though.
Yes, I did.
Didn't any of your peers say, oh, that was fantastic, I met this guy and we had a fantastic time and everything? You know, didn't you ever hear them say things like that, that was different to what you were experiencing?
Yes, I did in my 20s, but it changes as you mature. And I think in your 30s, they're going, oh, for God's sake, he's such a pain, or something's going wrong. So as you're in your 20s, it's all very exciting and he's lovely and he's fantastic, he's perfect. And then as you go through your 30s, it's like, oh, God, he never does the dishes, never takes out the rubbish, and other things take their place.
Mm. The discovery of sexuality and then of closeness and intimacy is quite an interesting time during the 20s. So what did you do during your 20s? Did you date other people? I was
a continual long-term relationship person.
Okay.
So I wasn't very good at the whole one-night stand things. In fact, I was rotten at it. I couldn't cope with that at all. So it was a boyfriend for 2 years, and then that sort of fell apart, and then be another boyfriend for another few years and so forth. I just didn't like that single meat market scene.
How was the relationship with these guys that you were with for these in your 20s? What was it like?
It was pretty good. The first one, which was my first sexual experience, lasted about 2 years, and he was honestly just, you know, it was all wrong. It was a different kind of, it sounds awful, but different league, different needs, different wants, different likes kind of thing. And the next partner, which I was with, who I was with for 8 years, we're still friends now. He's a lovely man.
Okay, so there was some element of connection. It's not all based on sexuality.
No, but it did make sense of why I didn't have sex for 2 years within that relationship now. Yeah. But he was very supportive of that. And now when I did actually come out to him, he just gave me a hug and it was like, oh, that explains that then. Mm. I'm so happy for you.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, great. I'm very lucky. I am surrounded by really lovely people.
Let's go through the process now. So here you are in your 20s, yeah, and tell us about how you met your husband.
I met my husband through work. Now, I worked with his sister.
Okay.
And we met at a party.
Yep.
But it was one of those situations where he was actually in a relationship. And I thought, well, he's nice. Why can't I end up with somebody like that instead of these, you know, people I just don't really connect with or I connect with but.
Yeah.
And he was really attractive and appealing and smart and funny and all those lovely things. And I thought, oh, why can't I? And then we sort of sat chatting and there was that, you know, that look and that think, oh, okay, we actually do like each other.
There's a bit of chemistry happening.
A bit of chemistry, which was like, oh, that's very disconcerting, but you roll with it, don't you?
So what happened? Did he break up with his partner?
Yes, I was seen as the evil one. Okay. He did break up with his partner, but there was a, oh, I can, I can't, I can, I can't. And then we spent a lot of time together talking and listening to each other and getting to know each other and fell in love.
Did you know his partner at that time?
Not very well, no. I'd met her, okay. And she's a lovely girl, a lady, but no.
It's interesting you say that after a while with this guy, you fell in love with him. There's a perception in the community, I think, that if you're a lesbian, how can you love a guy in that way?
But you love a person, don't you? That's what I believe.
It depends what you mean by love, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you can just say, I'm a lesbian, therefore I'm just going to love women. I love all people if they have a good soul and a good
heart.
But
you said you fell in love, which is taking it a step further than just a love you have for a friend, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I do believe in love at first sight, but I also believe in love that grows and generates over time once you get that friendship and knowledge of somebody and understand their base.
It's quite mature.
I'm a very mature person.
Yeah, I'm starting to understand this. So you met your husband. He had another girlfriend, but he decided to let... Did you have a conversation with him beforehand that he was going to break up with this girl, or did he just say to you at some stage, oh, look, we've broken up?
There were many, many conversations, It was very challenging for him, and it was very challenging for me because I never thought I would be the other woman. I think that's quite horrible. I mean, it's
has
horrific.
Its own connotations, doesn't it?
It does, and it's just not nice, and I'm not happy about that part of my life. That was just awful. It was something that had to be dealt with fairly quickly because I just couldn't cope with it.
Okay.
And him as well. He couldn't cope with it either. We both knew that if we were to be together, then unfortunately he needed to break up.
He was deceiving his partner while he was going out with you, was he?
Well, we weren't doing anything nasty, but we were certainly spending time together, getting to know each other. If you're going to make a move like that, then you really need to know that person. It can't be just something and go, oh, gee, that's a nice barbecue over there. I'll go over there. You need to really understand what that.
You need to be sure that if you're going to leave and go for somebody else, that the somebody else is somebody you want to be with. It's absolutely
you could be out of the frying pan into the fire. Otherwise,
yes, that transition phase is actually a really complicated situation, and I don't understand, and I don't know. I have no experience of how that happens. My relationships have been on off.
They're just on or they're off.
They're on or they're off, and suddenly.
See, with women, it's much more, oh, I don't know, can I think about it, do I need to? And there's this huge analysis that goes on in a woman's head, I think.
It's funny, isn't it? You know, I've had 8 long-term relationships. Most of them, I've fallen in love with them the day I met them. Mm. And my current partner I've been with for just over 8 years, and he moved in the day I met him.
Oh, how lovely. You could be a lesbian, Adam. That's a U-Haul syndrome, isn't it?
No. Now, so you met your husband.
Yes.
Right, and then you started seeing him regularly.
That's right.
Were you in love?
I guess I was, yeah. You get that nervous flutter in your tummy and you're excited that he's coming around and you're excited to introduce him to your friends.
Were you excited because it was a guy you actually connected with? I mean, as opposed to someone that you had a sexual connection with.
I think you're right. I think is that next level up, absolutely.
One of the things I wanted to find out and discover, women in your situation who are lesbian but get married and don't realise they're lesbian, when you were having sex with your husband,
That's okay.
Was it yuck?
No. Sometimes it's, do I really want to?
Yeah.
But in the moment, absolutely not, no.
So it was all right?
It was all right, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is why I was so conflicted so early.
Okay. All right, so you got married.
I did.
Was the big white wedding sort of thing, wasn't it?
No, we actually had a daughter by this stage.
Oh, right.
We'd had a daughter. I like to do things a little bit differently. So we'd had a daughter, and I'd always said if I got pregnant again, which I was actually pregnant at the time of my wedding, it was appropriate. I thought it was the right thing to do yet again to get married. But there was also a connection there between us, obviously, not just having to go through those steps.
It sounds like quite a responsible attitude, actually, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's kind of what you do. That was the option, wasn't it? You got married, you bonded, and you were a family to children.
So a lot of it was to do with what's expected of you then, do you think?
I think there is a lot of that, but I think it goes deeper than that. Mm. I mean, I'm not one to just go, okay, I have to do this now, and therefore I will do it. There's a lot of it, you know, sort of thought that goes in behind it. But I certainly wouldn't have married him if I didn't love him.
Mm. So why do you think that earlier on, why do you think it was that you didn't accept your homosexuality earlier?
I just didn't know. I didn't know a lesbian. I'd never been... I obviously went to school with lesbians, but at that stage, nobody was out and about.
I just think you weren't aware of it. I just think it didn't occur to you that you might be a lesbian.
Completely oblivious. Through my teacher's college, there were, you know, the girls that wore the flannel shirts in that day. And you thought, oh, you know, I think they're lesbian. What's that? So again, I didn't go through it in my teaching career. I don't think I ever worked with somebody who was an outwardly lesbian. It was always sort of cocooned, I guess.
I can actually remember to this day that I had to look up homosexual in the dictionary to find out what it was.
Wow. Get out. Really?
And it said, if I remember correctly, the dictionary said an unnatural attraction to people of the same sex.
Well, that was a very bad dictionary.
So here you are married.
Yes.
With two children.
Yes.
Okay. How long ago was this?
My eldest, I actually had three children, but one passed away. But my eldest child now is 9, and my youngest is 7.
Can we just look at that?
I'm actually okay talking about it. So I know it sounds a bit flippant, but it's not really. It's just because I've got to the point of acceptance with losing
a
child.
Can you tell us what happened?
Sure. I was pregnant, and at 29 weeks, I went into labour and had a premature baby. And he was born with a condition called a diaphragmatic hernia. And this occurs one in every, I think, 3,500 babies.
Yeah.
And he only survived 13 days because he was so tiny, and the lung capability and the heart capability is so stressed.
Oh, my goodness. How did you cope with it?
It was dreadful. It was completely debilitating. And I think that has really grounded me. You're saying you've got thoughts of maturity, when you're faced with something like that, you realise what's important and what's not, and that you need to work towards your goals, or you need to explore your own feelings because you've got one chance.
I was going to say that I suspect that become a mature person, I mean, it was an awful thing to happen, but if there's a good side to it, it helps you to grow as a human being.
Absolutely.
To deal with that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And I got so much strength from helping other people. I wrote a grief book and I did a lot of work through SIDS. And so that really helped me mature, I guess, as a person and really understand that there is one chance at life. And if you do have something that you need to do, then, hey, you got to try and make it happen.
Over the years of being a teacher, I've been a teacher for quite a lot of years. I've actually been to quite a few funerals of children that I've taught that have died, and also friends who've had babies that have died soon after birth. It's one of the most traumatic things I've ever been through in my life, and unfortunately it will continue to be so. And this looks as though there's going to be another one. I've got a little boy that I teach with leukemia who's not coming to school at the moment, and it's not looking very good, and I think he's 9.
Oh, it's so sad.
It's terrible, but it's part of life. Our special guest on Allegro Non Troppo this morning is Sue, and we're talking to Sue about the fact that she got married, but in later life she came out to be lesbian. Just to wind up before we go into the second part of the show, so you're married.
Yes.
You've got two children.
Yes.
Was it going all right?
Marriage? Yeah, it was okay, but I was at that point that I was talking about earlier that... you know, the garbage isn't taken out and something. And the stresses of a regular life earning marriage.
And it's not really about the garbage. It's what's going on is a lot deeper than that, isn't it?
Yes, but it's about, I think, within a relationship when you feel like you're putting in or you're doing something and the other. And it might be right or wrong. I might be completely off track. But in your head, that's what's happening.
Were you working?
Let me see. I was on and off. I was coming, going and coming from teaching, having babies and so forth.
One of the things that happens in our society is because traditionally the woman is at home as being the homemaker and the husband's out working. Then they just, the distribution of labour is the woman does everything at home and the men do anything. And we're brought up with that sort of societal culture. And when it doesn't actually work like that, it's really difficult. My mum and dad were really lucky, like they really helped each other. But I just see it happen in a lot of heterosexual relationships. The women are expected to do so much. Even today, with modern education and everything, it just doesn't work and it's terribly uneven.
Absolutely.
Our special guest on Allegro today is Sue. We'll be back in a few moments and then we're going to hear about the coming out of Sue as a lesbian. This is the Community Radio Network with Adam and Peter. The show is Allegro Non Troppo, and today we're talking to Sue. Sue was married for some years and has come out to be lesbian. And we're just going through the issues and the life events that led up to this and the coping mechanisms that Sue developed. So, Sue, here you are, married now. Right, sort of irritated as hell with the husband who won't take the rubbish out.
But they're not the big issues, but they were annoying.
They were annoying, and these small issues compound to the bigger picture.
They do.
Okay, right. What was the first indications that there was some change in sexuality? Because what I know from what you've told me, it wasn't you who noticed.
That's right. My ex noticed, but I guess I need to fill you in on a little bit more.
Okay.
We started a cafe and it was running really well and we sold it. And that was his dream to do that. And I supported that and I thought it was a great dream to have. And I thought, well, okay, now it's my turn. And I said, look, I've always wanted to teach overseas, as you know, and I'd like to do that. And he said, great, let's go for it. So we had two kids then and we had the money from the cafe, which so forth. And so we headed off to England. And it was actually in England that I had that first, oh, this is deeper than I thought.
Okay, what happened?
I was teaching overseas, over there, at a school that was very, very challenging. Mm-hmm. I teach kids with intellectual disabilities, including autism and so forth. And I got to know this one person who was an out lesbian, and I thought, you're amazing, you're fantastic, look how knowledgeable you are and smart and funny, and oh my goodness, I'm thinking more about you than I should.
Okay. Was there any physical realization of?
Not particularly. I think for me it was much more an emotional start. I was really attracted to this person as a person. But I also, there was something in there, oh, she's a lesbian. That's my first lesbian friend kind of thing. And that was really interesting. So at first it was like, oh, well, I want to hang out with you because I'm an inclusive person. I really like you and I'm really interested. I'm really proud of you for being able to live the life. And she actually thought, you're mocking me as being proud. I said, no, I'm actually being proud of you for having that guts to do that. And I think that was my way of saying to myself, you haven't quite got to that gutsy stage yet.
Was your husband aware that you had these admirations and feelings for this woman?
He knew that I liked her. He was lovely. We had dinner with her or lunch or whatever, and he was saying, oh, she's lovely and all that sort of stuff. But that's merely as a friend's point of view. It wasn't until, because I was there for 12 months, so it wasn't until a bit later that I was thinking, oh, this is getting a bit more complicated in my head now. He probably started picking up the signals that I didn't really want to talk to him as much or talk about work as much and so forth.
Okay.
Mm.
How old were you?
Sorry, I was just thinking you probably highlighted one of the main differences between men and women, because I think as a generalisation with guys, if they feel an awakening, the what they want to do eventually is to experience the sexual side of things. They don't particularly start off by getting to know another gay person. They want to actually experience the sex to see if that's what they really want to do.
And they usually do so anonymously. They'll go to a place where they can have anonymous sex and then they have the huge guilt complex. I mean, it's a huge generalisation. But exactly. It's a useful model for us in this particular context, because you actually got to know someone over a period of time, which then started to switch on the switches to...
Absolutely, but I couldn't imagine going to a facility like that and and having anonymous sex, it would be very difficult for me.
There was a joke I saw. It was actually a graphic joke of a male and female. The female was like the cockpit of a Boeing 747 with all the switches and whatever.
That's us.
And the men's was just on
and off.
Or off.
Yes. It's so true. It's so true. Well, generalisation, but for me it's true.
Well, can I just do a completely out of character and out of context? I want to tell you a true story just about that. I've got a friend who's a pilot, and I was reading something that the Boeing 777 and the A380, the new aeroplanes, and the 787 are so automated with voice control that the pilot just presses a button and says into the microphone, "Go to Bangkok."
Oh, wow.
And then the plane just automatically runs on a pre-program. And I said to him, I said, "Bruce, is this the case?" He said, "Don't be ridiculous." He says, "That's the job of the first officer."
So you just have to sit there.
And he says, "Number one, take us to Bangkok." Then he presses the button and says, "Go to Bangkok." Anyway, but it wasn't like that with your sexuality. It wasn't a press the button and let's be a lesbian.
No, absolutely not. And I think that's why it was such a challenging process, because it wasn't just, okay, well, this is it now. Mm. It was a, am I not? What is a lesbian, you know? And then I learned all these different types of lesbians, and it was all quite, oh my goodness, because you grow up with a stereotype in your head. Lesbians are the flannelette wearing.
So the lesbionic thing came without any physical expression. It was an emotional.
Very, very much. And it was very inappropriate, obviously, to have physical relationship overseas with a woman while I'm married with two kids.
And it can be all-consuming too, can't it? I mean, you've got this in your mind, this sudden awakening, and it takes over your whole life at the time.
It does. You sleep, you eat, and you lose a lot. Well, I'm a terrible sleeper. I lost a lot of sleep because I started to reassess my whole self as a person. Mm. Am I a good person? Am I a bad person? Mm. I'm a mum. I shouldn't be thinking this. I'm married. I shouldn't be thinking this. There's so many levels of the shouldn't be that came to play, and I had to work in a very challenging environment and be very close with this girl because there were physical elements to this job. So, you know, we were quite physical together, so which I guess combated the whole having to go to a place, but it wasn't a sexual thing.
Yeah. So how did this wind up? Because this didn't go on for long, did it?
It went on. Well, it went on for a few, after the realization, it went on for a few months.
Yeah.
But then things went downhill in the marriage because I just couldn't cope with this dual emotion. So he came back, and then I followed later, but a couple of weeks later. And I sort of tried to go, okay, now I'm back on, you know, that holiday romance kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you come back and you think, right, maybe it was a holiday romance. Maybe I'm not really a lesbian. Maybe this, maybe that. And I've got kids now. I need to do the right thing.
Did you have the L word running through your head?
Yes.
You did.
I had all of that running through my head, and what would everybody think of me, and what would I be perceived, and would I be different? Do I have to dress differently? All that sort of crazy stuff.
Did you take any steps to do self-aversion therapy, like trying not to be a lesbian, trying to de-lesbianize yourself?
Yeah, I think it was the opposite. I'd actually, instead of now, I'd be looking at the posters or whatever, which I'm not attracted to that kind of woman, but you look at it, oh, it's okay now. So okay. I did the opposite. I actually started allowing myself in my private zone to be okay with it. What I wasn't okay with at the time was being married and having children and thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to hurt people by doing what I feel like I need to do. And that took a long time to come to terms with.
How did you come? Tell us about the process, because your husband probably was the person that made the first moves for you to try and experience other things in your life, wasn't he?
He was. Look, he could see that I was really struggling, and he was very, very supportive, but at the same time he was very, very sad.
Was he aware what it was?
I think so. He was aware before I was.
Yeah.
I mean, I was aware in one side of my head, but I think he was aware at a different level,
yeah,
if that makes sense. And he actually said, hey, there's this radio station called Joy. I've gone, oh, yeah. He said, well, it's a gay and lesbian radio station. I've gone, oh, yeah, whatever. And, you know, then I've gone secretly and put it on. And I think the moment I put it on, went, oh, my goodness, they're not having these heterosexual jokes or jibes at women and blah, blah, blah. I was, you know, oh, this is where I fit. And I started coming to terms with it. It's okay.
So through listening to the radio, it gave you a sense of confident self-identity.
Absolutely. You listen to other radio stations or mainstream radio stations, and there's not that sense of it's okay for a woman to love a woman. It's like, ha ha, she's a lesbian. And it sounds a bit icky, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then you get the ones that try and say, oh, yeah, throw me in dip me in chocolate and throw me to the lesbians. If you were dipped, if a man was dipped in chocolate and thrown to the lesbians that I know, I don't think he would be thinking they're going to lick it off him.
No, like, get out of here.
So at that particular point, you started listening to the gay and lesbian radio station.
Yes.
Yeah. So your husband had put you onto it, yes, hoping that you would then self-realise perhaps a little bit clearer as a lesbian.
Mm.
Then you started to think, well, it's okay to be lesbian. Was there a lights on moment?
No, I think it was a very, very gradual thing. And I think it was more a process of just going through each day and feeling it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. But as I was travelling that road with, yes, it's okay being who I am, it's not okay to be a mum and the two kids and be married and be gay. So what am I going to do? Am I going to follow what I think I need to follow or what I think I should follow?
Didn't you think at any stage you could do both?
No, because I didn't think that was fair on him.
How old were your kids at this stage?
They would have been, I guess, 5 and 7 or 4. No, I think it would have probably been 4 and 6.
Very young then.
They were very, very young. And in a way, it's actually made it good for me because I've been able to talk with them through it and I haven't felt that they've hated me for it. There's been moments that they've gone recently. You know, they've been fantastic with it for a few years now. And then they've been, but Mum, it was with a woman.
Mm.
Why a woman? Why did you leave Daddy for a woman? And so there's these big discussions. But yet they've had years of being
so
okay.
So how old are they now?
7 and 9.
Can we back up a little bit? Yep. Back up a little bit. So here you are.
Yes.
Right, and you've realising this sexuality. And you were feeling that it's not okay to be married and have children and be a lesbian. Do you think that's the case in all cases or was it just a Sue thing?
I think I have spoken to other women who've been in situations that are similar to mine, and there's a common thread that you feel there's something wrong with being married and being gay.
Just, I had a partner for 14 years. He died in 1995, but I was with him for 14 years, and during the first almost year that I was seeing him, I was only seeing him one or two nights a week, and it didn't dawn on me why he couldn't come out or do anything. It was just this very prescribed time, and it turns out he was married and had a family in a similar situation, and he went through the same process. He realized he wanted to have his life with me, he would have to leave his wife and children. I'm sort of grateful in a way that he didn't involve me in this process and only let me know some time after the event, because being the other woman, the other person, it's not a pleasant feeling.
It's not a pleasant feeling at all.
And of course, all his family, and they know now his family, they all hate my guts.
Because you're the reason?
I'm the reason. And he's also dead, so I also killed him.
Oh.
So anyway, but we're not talking about me here. In this situation, you then came out, and was there a conversation when you said to your husband, yes, I'm lesbian?
Yeah, he actually... my girlfriend, it ended up that the girl in England, I couldn't get her out of my head.
Yep.
So we continued to write and talk and so forth. And she, I guess, was there, gave me the strength to say, it's okay, you can, you know, if you need to leave him, then I'm here to support you for that. But she certainly wasn't going, you have to leave me, I have to leave him.
Yep.
So I've lost my track then.
Now you were talking about coming out to your husband.
Yeah, so he... trying to put it into words.
You were in contact with a girl from England. Did she come out to Australia?
Thank you. Yeah, she came out to Australia and visited and met my friends and so forth. And my ex-husband now has said to my friends, oh, you met my replacement, kind of thing. So he'd said something to my friends before he'd actually said something to me. But then the next day when I did see him, he said, oh, I hear, you know, you've come out, that's great, and gave me a hug. We had a cry.
Your girlfriend, when she came here, did you consummate the relationship? Did it become physical?
Yes, it did.
Was that your first time?
Yes.
What was it like?
It was like coming home.
Was it?
Can I describe it like that? It was like, aha, this is good.
You feel as though it's somewhere you belong, don't
you? Yeah, you do. Yeah. It's like, oh, because I was actually quite worried about it. I thought, I've gone through all this process, on the emotional level. I'd cope with that. I'd cope with all everything else. What if I get to the physical level and I go, ooh.
You needn't have worried.
Well, what do you have to do?
Yeah. And I did. We did have these jokes about, I said, you don't have to guide me. I don't know. I'll have those sticky notes around the, you know, the bed. But actually, it's not like that at all. It's just, it's a very natural process, and it's lovely.
Did you feel at the time and just afterwards that this is what I've wanted all along?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, in saying that, I'm happy with the life that I've had.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with my physical relationships with, you know, my ex-husband and the boyfriends and so forth.
And but the children. You wouldn't have had the children.
Absolutely. I had that conversation with my friend this morning. And but I'm really happy that I got that physical side. I go, yes, that's it.
Mm. So your friend, is she still here?
Unfortunately, long-term relationships, I'm not a really good advocate. It didn't work out because she just found it too hard to make the move to Australia.
Okay. So where are you now?
I've got a lovely person, and she's very, very supportive.
Okay. Now, I wanted to talk to you now that you've gone through all of this about your relationship with your family.
Yes.
How have your family been with this, and possibly your husband's, ex-husband's family?
It's funny, my family have been unbelievable. I think I had the experience, as with many people who are gay and lesbian, come out. They go, yeah, okay, just pass the potatoes kind of thing. I told mum and dad, I said, look, this is the issue I'm having. There was a bit of, well, not fighting or bickering going on with my ex, and it was a bit awkward. And I said, well, okay, I need to talk to you. This is what's happening in my life. And they've gone, yeah, we know, that's okay. And they've just got on with the conversation again. And I expected once again this big fireworks fanfare and somebody would hate me and there'd be tears. But it was lovely. It was really lovely to have that experience where they just embraced me as a person. I thought, well, we thought we had a few clues earlier on.
That's quite mature, isn't it?
I'm very lucky. I feel very, very lucky.
And the relation now. The relationship with your husband since you've separated now.
We don't live
together. Yes. How is he towards you now?
We have our moments, as in any exes.
Mm-hmm.
He's remarried and very, very happy, and she is an absolutely gorgeous woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are very happy in that relationship. So I'm once again, you know, happy to have that in my life.
Okay. There's the children. Are they with you or with their father?
We're very amicable in that sense that the children spend the school week with me,
mm-hmm.
and they go off and see dad on the weekends. I'm not one of these people who say, okay, no, you can have every second whatever. I don't think that's right. You know, I personally think that, you know, we're both parents.
And I guess as the kids get older, they'll choose where they want to go or who to be.
Absolutely. And they can have that now in a sense, you know, if they feel like they want to spend some more time with one of the others, it's not up to me or him to block and say, okay.
Mm.
You know, it's about their growing up, not necessarily about ours. We've had our chance.
It sounds as almost like you've planned all of this pretty well. You've been very aware of the issues beforehand. Did you do a lot of research into what it's going to be like for you before you went through this? Or is this all just reaction because you've had a good education?
It's probably a reaction from a good education. But what it is also is I linked up with other women who have been through this. So I got to know another woman in particular, and we spent hours on the phone. Okay. Chatting and going, oh, did you do that? Yes, I did. Oh, did he do that? Yes, he did. And there was a unity there that helped me move forward.
So we've had a couple of questions from listeners, and Peter's just going to relay them to you.
Trevor says, thank you, so eloquently spoken, your guest today. My teenage sons have been fantastic, and I was worried what would happen when I finally plucked up the courage to tell them, and they both said, duh, so they obviously knew.
Thanks, Trevor.
It's interesting, isn't it, to see, I have this huge thing that, you know, the whole world's going to hate you if you're a parent, and you have a family, and you're married, and you turn gay, that they're going to, but I don't think it happens nearly as much as it used to. I think our society and our Australian communities. Mind you, there are cultural differences in different cultures, but I think we're moving towards a more accepting and a more homogenised view of human sexuality. Was there another comment, Peter?
Well, yes. A question for Sue. Are you forever a lesbian? As sometimes it's been known for someone who was once a lesbian to switch back to being straight.
You know what? If we could predict the future, we'd all be very, very rich.
Yes.
But I am happy being a lesbian. I love women. I love men, but it's at a different level. I can't see me switching back, but I am a whole believer in that you fall in love with the person you fall in love with.
Okay.
But
so
I'm a lesbian. I think I will continue to be a lesbian.
You know, when you were growing up and during your 20s, did you look like a lesbian?
You know, I've gone through
shocking
phases.
Statement?
No, it's true. That's the stereotype I understood was a lesbian. These gruff women and wore the flannies. I've progressed through skirt wearing, dress wearing. I'm quite lesbian looking today. Jeans and top and boots and belt kind
no
of look.
No lipstick.
No lippy. No, I'm not a lippy, but I do frock up and, you know, head out in the town with the, but not too high on the heels. I don't want to fall over and hurt myself.
Some of the issues for lesbian women who come out who are married is this self-identification. It must be terribly difficult. And I think from this conversation, it took you quite a number of years to do it. Do you ever feel as though you're wasted part of your life?
No. I think it's brought me to where I am. And I think a problem is we try to fit ourselves into categories.
Yeah.
I'm a wife, I'm a, you know, a mother, I'm a whatever, and you do those things and you bake cookies.
Yeah.
But you can also do those things as a lesbian.
Yep.
So it's about coming to terms with that and saying, well, it's okay to be whatever you are, whoever you are. There isn't a script. There isn't a recipe to be anyone.
The complexity of human sexuality is something that can't be defined in a few labels.
No.
And it's so individual. Every person has got their own different sexuality. Sexuality is not something you can label. It's just so individual and so different. And it's articulated through many spheres in our lives. Do you have any lesbian characteristics in your life at the moment?
It's funny. I do go through phases.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. At the moment, I'm dressing very lesbionic. I think in winter, you sort of rug up. But in summer, you put on the skirt and the dress. And I guess that can kind of confuse, well, not confuses people, it titillates people.
Yeah.
But you're a lesbian. Why are you wearing a skirt? And you go, well, I'm a lesbian. I'm allowed to wear skirts. I can wear a clown hat if I want to. I can do whatever I like.
Do you socialise with other lesbians? Do you hang out in the leso scene?
I do now. I think when I came back from England, I didn't know any lesbians, and I connected with an internet site that helped me, and the radio station, obviously, here at Joy. And but now I have a great network, but it's not solely lesbian.
Okay.
So I have gay male friends, I have lesbian female friends, I have heterosexual friends and friends who have kids. You know, I cover all my bases.
I got to know Sue Peter because she came to Joy to do radio training.
Okay.
Okay, and that's how I started to hear a story, and I thought that would be a fantastic story for the listener on the network, because it encapsulates a lot of the issues that married women face who come out as being lesbian. What made you want to get involved with the radio station? I mean, you were listening. What did you actually listen to on the radio that said it's okay to be gay? Was there anything in particular?
I don't think there was a particular show, but I liked the feel.
Mm.
I liked the fact that there weren't these jibes at women, and I liked its inclusivity.
Yeah.
I really liked the fact that anybody could say whatever, but it made sense to me other than listening to the trash that I had heard on previous radio stations. And I wanted to be a part of that. And being educated, I guess, I was thinking, oh, come on, I've got some skills here. I know how to talk the talk. Why can't I put that to some good use? I love channeling, you know, excess energy. You know, as a teacher, you've always got that energy to put into something.
Most definitely. And and radio is a fantastic medium because it's immediate, it's live, it's real. But that's the thing, it's real people.
Yeah.
And there's not distracted by image and not distracted by music, so it's directly straight in the thought process. And the experiences that you've had are a really interesting way for other people to be able to relate to their own lives. I mean, I can relate to the fact, you know, like my partner was married and had children, you were married and had children, and there's this internalized conflict, and looking at our positions within these, how these conflicts play out in our own position, really helps you define your own character and where you need to be in life. Where do you see yourself being in the future, Sue?
I see myself being very, very happy.
Yeah.
I see myself having two beautiful girls that will grow up healthy. And I see myself just celebrating who I am with a huge array of great friends and family.
Next.
I was just wondering, how did the kids get on with, or did they get on with your partner?
Oh, they love the two relationships. They absolutely have adored both women.
Mm. So that's great.
That hasn't been an issue for them, that their mother's a dyke?
They did come up with, but a woman. But you have to, with kids, what I did was I gave little tidbits of information. So we'd be driving along and you'd be going, look at that tree, la la la. Mummy, what, can you ever get married? And you would answer the question honestly. And then you go back to, look at that tree. I never wanted to sit down and go, okay, now it's dyke lesson 101. I don't think that's fair. But when the kids are ready, I gave them a little bit of information, came back. So they've had a progressive work to where I am.
It sounds as though you've done a good job of it.
And I hope so.
And it's good. It's good for experience, so that the listener out there who's going through this themselves will be able to identify. So, to wind up the show, for the women out there who are going through this, have you got a message for them?
Take it easy on yourself. Don't try not to be so conflicted with doing right or wrong. I mean, we all know what is right within our hearts. So, just go there. Go there with care and grace.
We'll be back with Allegro next week. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Allegro Non Troppo. If you'd like more information, you can go to the Allegro website, allegro.org.au. That's allegro.org.au for information and podcasts.